So if you think bicycling's silly, I have a picture of the speaker with a black eye. It was Elder Hughes in Papua New Guinea who was fighting and while he was on his mission. Got a big old black eye. So I don't know which one is sillier, getting hit in the head than wanting to get hit in the head, or you know, getting some good exercise. I was looking in Utah policy today, and there's some interesting January 8th. '1790, President George Washington delivers the first State of the Union address in New York City. That's on this date in 1790. In 1828, the Democratic Party is organized. In 1835, the United States debt is zero for the only time. Think about that. And then, ironically, in 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson declares war on poverty. And obviously, we lost that war, at least on the basis that government has tried to address the war on poverty. I want to specifically talk about tax reform that last year I've talked about, and you've probably heard me say infrastructure. We have a deficit in infrastructure, and we do. And we're going to have to address those issues in a growing state that's growing very fast. But also our tax structure is, I think, behind the eight ball also. And we need to address, I think, the most important tax when it comes to prosperity is the income tax. The income tax is a tax on prosperity. It's a tax on innovation. And when you tax something more, you get less of it. When you tax something less, you get more of it. So why wouldn't we want to incentivize more prosperity and innovation in our state? And that would be by lowering income tax rates. In 1981 and in 1986, there were some major federal reform initiatives that took place. In 1981, there was a tax cut on the federal level led by President Ronald Reagan. And mind you, he had a Democratic Congress who took the top marginal income tax rate from 70% to 50%. And that one, I understand, was supposed to be in a static fiscal note, so to speak, was supposed to be a tax cut. The 1986 reform was supposed to be more of a revenue-neutral reform. And the tax rate was lowered from the top marginal individual rate, and there was, I can't remember the corporate rates, but they were also lowered too. But the top marginal personal rate went from 50% to 28%. And this is, again, led by President Ronald Reagan, with the Democratic Congress. Now, when you lower the rate from 50% to 28%, or over that period of 5 or 6 years, from 70% to 28%, who got most of the benefit? Anybody? Well, yeah, but your highest income earners, the rich, are the ones that mostly got a tax cut. And Democratic Congress voted for that. The likes of Edward Kennedy, the likes of Al Gore, and John Kerry, and 86 reform, what they did is they took away a lot of deductions and lowered the rates. Broaden the base, lower the rate. And we almost have a flat tax here in Utah, but we still have about $1 billion in exemptions that people take. That's families. It's kind of sacred here in Utah. We still allow through our credits the tax charitable deductions and interest. Although our recent Congress now getting rid of some of those deductions, getting more to a flat rate, I think is a good indication of and some leadership on a federal level that we have to look at. But if it's always going to get blown up because it's a tax on the rich, or not a tax on the rich, but the rich are the only ones that are going to benefit from it, we'll never get to lowering the rates and broadening the base in our income tax. We have to accept that those in the high income earners will benefit by a lowering of the rate, especially if you get rid of some of the deductions and exemptions. But in the long term, that is the better tax system. It's less volatile, more predictable, and I'm a big advocate for lowering our rates. And there are states now that are lowering their income tax rate. It's a competitive issue in the states. It will determine whether we continue to attract business and are able to grow business in the state of Utah. We're already competing with states that have no income tax. And those who are lowering it, like North Carolina, Kansas lowered it, but then they've raised it back up along with Illinois. Indiana is making a strong effort, which their economy is also humming along real well because they think a lot like we do here in Utah. Their legislature has made some pro-growth policies, passed some pro-growth policies. But if we're going to continue to be in that game, we're going to need to be able to lower our income tax rate. And right now, I think the effective rate is about 3.7%. If we got rid of all our deductions and exemptions, you could get to 3.8%. And in my mind, that is the ideal tax system for the state of Utah. It would, and while those with higher incomes do get a tax break at that point, what happens is you lift all boats by creating higher paying jobs, a more robust economy. We have one now, but in order to make sure that we have a robust economy going forward, and it also produces tax revenues to pay for our education and Medicaid and some of the other things that we have to deal with. But we do have to always watch what we're doing on the debt side of things. Utah, fortunately speaking, is very careful about debt. We only do it for infrastructure, and we pay it off in a very short period of time. For buildings, it's 7 years. For roads, it's 15 years. I think there are some road bonds in California that are 50 years. We don't do that. We don't think that's responsible. And then there's our wonderful federal government. We've got tax reform going on, but also with tax reform, you also have to have spending reform. George Washington said, "The accumulation of debt, not only by shunning occasions of expense, but by vigorous exertions to discharge the debts, not ungenerously throwing upon posterity the burden which we ourselves ought to bear." James Madison, public debt is a public curse, and in a Republican government, a greater than any other. And Alexander Hamilton, nothing can more affect national prosperity and a constant and systematic attention to the extinguish the present debt and to avoid as much as possible as possibly an incurring of any new debt. And we're out of control, at least on the federal level. I think we're continuing to keep our debt down, and when we do have debt, it's for infrastructure, and we pay it off very quickly following those principles. So that's also a consideration in all the tax reform. There has to be talk about expenditure reform, or we're going to bury ourselves in a mountain of debt, which we've already done on a national level, but we don't want to do that on a state level either. And we'd have to discuss how, if we're going to cut taxes, how we're also going to cut spending at the same time. There'll be a lot of proposals on taxes. There's some issues with property tax. We'll not, in my opinion, this year address the sales tax on food. We found out that probably isn't a big game changer as far as broadening the base, and so politically there's no need for us to do that. There's the online sales tax, which we would hope that someday we might be able to collect that. That's eroding our base. But the biggest problem, as I mentioned here before, is we're spending $600 million out of the general fund to pay for transportation. And if you're using the roads, you have to pay for the roads. And that's where we really could make a big effort in working towards going back to the mid-90s when the gas tax actually paid for the roads, not only the maintenance and operation, the capacity in the capacity projects, and it also paid for the highway patrol. And systematically, the legislatures moved that all over into the general fund. But it creates a huge imbalance in the supply and demand for roads. When you incentivize more use of the roads, you have to build more and bigger roads. And having a better balance there, I think, would be a good thing. So those are a couple things that, at least, that are on my mind. Those are big lifts for the legislature. They're all politically charged. And so not sure where we'll get during the session, but I think it's worth the effort to try and create a better tax system for the future, especially with income tax, with a lower rate and a broadened base that will serve us well as we go forward. So thank you. I think one other thing I needed to say is over the last couple of days, we've been working with the Tax Commission and also with our fiscal analysts. And it's kind of a mixed bag on whether we're going to have a windfall from the federal return. And I think everybody needs to understand that we're not sure where we're at there. We had some indications at one time where we might have a $50 to $75 million windfall. Indications are in the last couple of days that that may not be the case. So it might be just the status quo. But I was kind of wondering why we were seeing this $50 to $75 million. I didn't understand it. And that I'm probably right, that we probably won't have a huge deficit or a windfall from federal reform. So just an indication. Thank you.